Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Ram Hare Ram 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 Hare Hare
Shiva Dhani, oh, Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय रमण हरि गोविंद जय जय गोविंद जय जय गोपाल जय जय
Yeah.
प्रभु मारा जय प्रभु पादा
రాధాకృష్ణ గోగోవిందాన శ్యామకుంద రాధాకుండ గిరిగోవర్ధానికి వృందావన ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథపురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌరవ ప్రేమనంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని శ్రీ గౌరంగ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద నమోదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బోధరే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిజీ నామే నమస్తే సరస్వదేవం గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశాఖిదేశారిణి ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం నమో భగవదే వాసుదేవాయ ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షురుణ్మిలితాం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః శ్రీచైతన్యమనోభీష్టం స్థాపితాం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూపగదా మహ్యం దదాదిం స్వపదాంబికం వందేహం శ్రీగురు శ్రీయుధాపదకమలం శ్రీగురుం వైష్ణవాంశ్చ శ్రీరూపం సాగ్రజాతం సహగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజనాసహితం కృష్ణచైతన్యదేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణపదాం సహగణ లలితాం శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ హే కృష్ణకరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగల్పదే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంద రాధాకాంద నమోస్తుతే తప్తకాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరి వృషభానుసుతే దేవి ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే పంచకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యైవ చ పదిదానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభో నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే హరే ఓం పార్థాయ ప్రతిబోధితాం భగవతాం నారాయణేన స్వయం వ్యాసేన గ్రథితాం పురాణమునినం మధ్యే మహాభారతం అద్వైతామృతవర్షిణీం భగవతీం అష్టాదశాధ్యాయినీం అంబ త్వామనుసంధదామి భగవద్గీతే భవద్భేషిణీం నమోస్తుతే వ్యాస విశాల బుద్ధే హుల్లారవిందాయత పద్మనేత్రం యేన త్వయా భారత తైలపూర్ణం ప్రజ్వాలితో జ్ఞానమయ ప్రదీవాం ప్రపన్న పారిజాతాయ స్తోత్రవేత్రైకబాణయే జ్ఞానముద్రాయ కృష్ణాయ నీలామృత దుహే నమః
వసుదేవసుదం సర్వోపనిషదో గావో దుగ్ధ గోపాల నందన పార్థో వల్స సుధీర్భోక్త దుగ్ధం లీలామృతం మహల్ వసుదేవసుదం దేవం కంసచాణూరమర్దనం దేవగీ పరమానందం కృష్ణం వందే జగద్గురుం భీష్మద్రోణతటా జయధృత జల గాంధార నీలోల్పల శల్యగ్రాహవతి కృపేణ వహని కర్ణేన వేలాకులాం అశ్వత్థామా వికర్ణ ఘోర మగర దుర్యోధన వర్తిని సోత్తీర్ణ ఖలు పాండవైరణ నదీ కైవర్తక కేశవాం పారాశర్యవజ సరోజమమలం గీతార్థగంధోల్కటం నానాఖ్యానగకేసరం హరికథా సంబోధనాభోదితం లోకై సజ్జన షల్పదై అహరః పేవీయమానం ముదా భూయాంగారద పంకజ కరిమల ప్రధ్వంసిన శ్రేయసే మూగం కరోతి వాచాలం పంగుం లంఘయతే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం యబ్రహ్మ వరుణేంద్రరుద్రమరుదస్వన్వన్ని దివ్యై స్తవై వేదై సాంగపదై క్రమోపనిషదై గాయందియం సామగాః ధ్యానావస్థిత తద్గదేన మనసా పశ్యందియం యోగినో యస్యాందం న విదుసురాసురగణై దేవాయ తస్మై నమః. ఓం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయ నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం. గోవింద గోవింద. We were discussing last Saturday the fourth chapter. We have just started talking about the fourth chapter. And as an introduction to the fourth chapter, what you have to remember is that in second chapter, when Krishna started Bhagavad Gita, he spoke about Sankhyam. Sankhyam means in relationship with the analytical study of the body as well as the soul. So that is Sankhya Yoga. Along with that, Krishna also mentioned about the principles of Karma Yoga. That is what we discussed in second chapter. Then Arjuna got a bit confused. He realized that probably karma is not the best thing. Jnanam is important, karma is not the best thing. This understanding Arjuna got from after hearing the second chapter. So what Krishna did was, in the third chapter, Krishna mentioned it is not like that. Karma is necessary. Karma also you can't avoid. And in order to explain that, the Siddhantam or the principle of Karma Yoga, Krishna explained the whole of third chapter with Karma Yoga. That is what we have seen. And the chapter 3 is completely in relationship with Karma Yoga, which is very, very important. Important because who is eligible for Karma Yoga? That also you have to remember. Those who are in Grahastha Ashramam or in the householder life, they are the people who have to worry about Karma Yoga a lot more than the others. And in majority of the people in this world will be one day householder. They are not going to be all of them sannyasis and brahmacharis. That is a very, very rare thing that's going to happen. So, in other words, majority of the people have to follow Karma Yoga. There is no other chance of elevating themselves. They have no other possibility. And therefore, in the third chapter, very beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself, Krishna starts with Karma Yoga. You can see the significance of Karma Yoga from there. So, in third chapter, Krishna discussed Karma Yoga, and when Arjuna asked Krishna that if Jnanam is more important than Karma, why engage me in this Karma Yoga, in this horrible battle with the Kauravas? And at that point, Krishna says to Arjuna that whether you like it or not, you have no choice in these things. Either you accept what I am saying to you that everyone by nature itself are bound to act in this world. No one can sit tight in one place and practice Jnanamargam or follow the process of meditation. They are not able to do that. So because of that, Krishna says that by your very nature, you are forced to act one way or the other. And that is how the Karma Yoga principle was spoken. Arjuna realized the importance of Karma Yoga at that point. And Karma Yoga, how to execute Karma Yoga properly, Krishna explained in the third chapter. This third Karma Yoga in the third chapter, which Krishna has explained, is different than the Karma Yoga in the Vedas. That is an important point, because for a very, very long time, Karma Yoga was understood by the followers of the Vedic tradition in a different way, in the sense that Agnihotram was considered to be Karma Yoga. In other words, the different sacrifices, what was executed as per the Karmakanda mentioned in the Vedic literature, was accepted as the Karma Yoga when it is executed properly. Karmakandam, when it is executed with the proper understanding, then it becomes Karma Yoga. But what Krishna did was, Krishna says, forget about those Vedic sacrifices. I am introducing this Karma Yoga, taking the essence from there, from the Vedas, and I am implementing that into your personal, normal life in this world. And that is why this Karma Yoga, which Krishna has explained in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita, is in principle different than the Karma Yoga in the Vedas. But at the same time, it implies all the benefits, or it will actually reflect properly the Karma Yoga that is in the Vedic system. So virtually we can see that no one else has done this, and only Krishna has the authority to do it. Nobody else can do that either. And because Krishna has done this with Karma Yoga, all the great acharyas are amazed by Krishna's ways of changing the principles of religion to suit the timing. No one else has the authority to do that. Only Krishna can do that, because the personality who has introduced the Vedas to this world, he alone has the authority to do such a thing, to change the principles of Karma Yoga in line with the time, which was going to come later. So Krishna changed that principles, and this Karma Yoga, what is in the Bhagavad Gita, in principle, it is similar to the Vedic fire sacrifices. But knowing very well that the people cannot execute that kind of Karma Yoga mentioned in the Vedas, Krishna brought the Karma Yoga, upgraded it to suit the modern life of the human society. So that is how this Karma Yoga is discussed in the third chapter. Now you will see something else there, that people may get the impression that this jnanam and karmam, knowledge and work, are two important things. So, is these two things that one has to follow? No, it is not. Because they are only the path, they are not the goal. They are only the path. Knowledge is only a path. Jnana margam is only a path to go back. Karma margam is only a path to go back. Ultimate goal is the soul, Krishna. Soul means, when we have talking about the soul, spiritual life means, when one is fixed in on a spiritual platform, that is the ultimate goal, to come back to your spiritual identity, which is our relationship with Krishna. So, ultimate goal is the soul, and not this Jnana Margam or Karma Margam. They are only the tools to help you to get there. So that is what we have to remember. We'll continue with that fourth chapter now.
శ్రీ భగవాన్ వాజ ఇమం వివస్వదే యోగం ప్రోక్తవానహమవ్యయం వైవస్వాన్మనవే ప్రాహామని విక్షాగువే బ్రవిల్ ఏవం పరంపరా ప్రాప్తమిమం రాజర్షయో విదు సకాలేనేహ మహద యోగో నష్టపరంతపాం.
Then this Karma Yoga, what Krishna has instituted, in due course it got lost in this world. Like everything else, whatever you may establish in this world, it will not survive forever. In due course, it will not stay. It gets deteriorated in its understanding, and people will deviate from that. That's the natural way it happens in this world. And karma and jnanam, although they are necessary to bring us back to the spiritual world, to to come bring us back to the spiritual realization, ultimately only they have up to a limit they can help you. After that, it is something else that will bring into the picture. So Krishna is saying here that this chapter itself is titled Jnana Karma Sannyasa Yogam. That means sannyasa means to give up. Jnanam and karma means knowledge and the action. How to give up knowledge and action and the sannyasam of that. This is why how this chapter is titled. In other words, jnanam and karmam is not the goal and sannyasam is also not the goal. Going back to Krishna is the goal. That is how it is started like that. Imam Vivaswade Yogam Proktava Anaham Avyayam. Krishna says that I have spoken this yoga system to Vaivasvan. Who is Vaivasvan? Vaivasvan is Sun God. He has Vaivasvada Manu, he is also referred to. So this Imam Vivaswade Yogam Proktava Anaham Avyayam Vaivasvan Manuve Praha Manurikshagave Bravil. That in due course, Vivaswan spoke about this to Vivaswan Manuve Praha, to Manu, the first Manu. And Manu, in due course of time, he spoke the same thing to Ikshvaku. Who are these? They are the personalities who comes in the solar dynasty, Surya Vamsham. So Surya Vamsham begins the first dynasty in this world is the solar dynasty. So in solar dynasty, this was presented through sun god. Imam Vivaswade Yogam Proktavanaham Avyayam. And Proktavan, I spoke about this Avyayam, this everlasting Veda system. Vaivasvan Manuve Praha. Vivaswan spoke to Manu. And Manu spoke to Manurikshaguve Bravil. Then, Evam Parambara Praptam Imam Rajarshayo Vidu Sakali Nehamahada Yoga Onashtabarandava. Evam Parambara Praptam. Like this, from then on, from that time onwards, which is runs into millions and millions of years ago, this system has come into this world of this practice of Karma Yoga. Evam Parambara Praptam, Parambara, in discipling succession. I have spoken this to Vaivasvan, Vaivasvan to Manu, Manu to Ikshvaku. Like this, it came through. Evam Parambara Praptam, Imam Rajarshayo Vidu. They were all called Rajarshis. Rajarshi means a king when he is very saintly. Because all those kings were very saintly people, they were called Rajarshis. Normally, there are different kind of rishis. There is Rajarshis, there is Maharshis, there is Devarshis, Brahma Rishis. So, rishis means sages, they are classified into different categories depending on where they come from. Say for example, if a demigod becomes a sage, or like a great personality, like Srinarada Maharshi, Srinarada Muni becomes a sage, because he's become a sage, he was a Gandharva before in his previous lifetime, he has become a sage, therefore he is called Devarshi. And Sukadeva Goswami, who has realized Brahman or the impersonal truth, he is called Brahma Rishi. Similarly, when a king like Parikshit or Yudhishthira Maharaj or so many other great kings, when they become a sage, saintly personality, they are called Rajarshis. Parikshit is also called a Rajarshi. Similarly here, Evam Parambara Praptam Imam Rajarshayo Vidu. All of them were Rajarshis. In other words, they were kings. At the same time, they were very saintly people. Not the ordinary kings like later days. But these kings were very saintly personalities. In other words, they knew how to direct their people into the proper direction. And not only that, their own goal, they executed their work in this world simply to please Krishna, nothing else. They did that and they have gone back to the spiritual world. And that we'll talk about it later. Evam parambara pratvayam rajarshayo vidu sakali nehamahadaha. So in due course of time, due to the influence of time, Krishna says, yoga nashta bharandavaha, that this yoga system was lost in this world. This is what Krishna says. It was lost in this world. That is what sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta viradana bhaktosmi sakha jedi rahasyam yadottamam. That sa evam maya tedya, this yoga system I have spoken before, yogam prokta puradana, it is the oldest one. This system, what I am talking to you, is the oldest yoga system, Krishna says, about this in relationship with this yoga system, Karma Yogam. Krishna is talking about that. Sa evam maya devya yoga prokta puradana bhakto sime sakha chedi. Because you are my devotee, Krishna says, therefore, rahasyam hedaduttamam, that you will understand the confidentiality or the the importance of this yoga system with all its aspects. When Krishna says that, Yoga Prokta Viradana Bhakto Sime Sakha Chedi Rahasyam Hedaduttamam, you may wonder what is so secret about it, isn't it? Every one of us asks that question. When Krishna says like this, that, oh, I'm talking to you, Arjuna, and you will understand the confidentiality of this yoga system. There is a confidence in that, or a confidential thing in there. What it is that in spiritual life, particularly in relationship with understanding the Shastram, you may be thinking that you have understood many things from the Shastram by reading that. And generally, by reading and by studying and discussion, you may understand many things. Whatever you have understood, if that has to manifest in your life, somebody else has to give you permission for that. And that is when it is properly understood. For example, you may study so many Shastram, and you may understand many things from that, but unfortunately, it is not changing your life. If it is like that, what good is it? You can again tell to somebody else to do the same thing, isn't it? There's nothing else. Just like sometimes music is taught. Many students goes to music academy and they learn music. But sometimes they don't have the talent for that. But still, due to some reason, they go and learn the music. Those students can only do one thing with that music. They can teach somebody else. But if they have to do a proper concert, they'll find it very difficult because they never had the taste for music. So similarly, in spiritual life also, whenever you learn something from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, for that matter, whatever Krishna has spoken, it may sound to us that it is very simple, it looks very simple, but when it comes to applying the same thing to our own life, practical application of this knowledge, that is where the difficulty comes. And it is there that what Krishna is saying this, that Bhaktosimi rasaha jedi rahasyam hedaduttamam. That it is rahasyam, it is a confidential thing, and you can only understand, and it will only happen to you when Krishna wants that to happen. That is the most important thing. This is in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Srimad Bhagavatam. You will find this. At one point, when Uddhava was going back to Badrinath after taking the instruction from Krishna, Uddhava spoke to Krishna certain things. From there you can understand this. What did he say to Krishna? Uddhava says to Krishna, my dear Krishna, that you have spoken to me about this, the greatest knowledge which is never spoken by anyone else in this world. After churning the whole Vedic literature, completely took out the very essence of the Vedas, and you have given to me because that is your mercy to me, what you have shown to me. And not only that, when you have given this to me, I have also started experiencing it in my own consciousness. This is what is necessary. Krishna says so many things in the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. But unless and until all these things start happening to you in your own life, it is not working actually, isn't it? That is when it starts really showing its potency. All these instructions what Krishna has left behind, when it gets transferred to your own life, and you are able to live on that principles, and that becomes the essence of life, then that the knowledge has its benefit. Otherwise, simply studying it, books and repeating it is no use. That is what that means. And Uddhava said to Krishna, that whatever you have spoken to me, what is that? What did Krishna want Uddhava to understand? The necessary detachment from the material world, renunciation. At the moment, all our minds are everywhere. Family, wife, society, children, this, that, everything. Hundreds of things, you are distributed, you are love and attachment. From that the mind has to come out. Because they are not the ultimate goal of life in this world. Nor the country, nor the society, nor this, nor that. When the death comes, you are on your own. You go from here. We all go in the same way. So, at that point, if it has to come useful, all these connections in this world has to break. And who can break it? Krishna can break it. Nobody else can break it. Because we are so weak in this situation, therefore, this enough renunciation has to come to the mind, detachment from the material world. In addition to that, all the knowledge is necessary. The knowledge has to be there, supported by the perfect understanding, no misunderstanding. Perfect understanding what Krishna meant when he spoke Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam. That knowledge has to come to us. That what he wanted us to understand, that understanding should come to us. If that understanding don't come, then what is the use? Suppose we have misunderstood so many things, and we have gone and done so many other different things, what we have understood in our own way, and ultimately what is the use? There is no use from that. So that is why whatever Krishna wanted Uddhava or Arjuna to understand by Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, that understanding we should also ask from Krishna. That is what we want from Krishna. That much understanding as Krishna wants us to understand, that is even controlled by Krishna. When Krishna speaks something, he decides how much understanding you should have from this. It is he who decides according to our degree of surrender and our sincerity and purity. Based on that, Krishna gives you a certain understanding. And that is the understanding which has to come from these instructions from Krishna. So what Krishna means to say is that as much as Krishna allows us to understand, we can understand. Not more than that. Not a little more than that. Similarly, apart from the knowledge and renunciation, ultimately the devotion, attachment to Krishna, Krishna's lotus feet, that attachment also Krishna has to give us. You may try very, very hard, but what can you do? The prarabdha karma is following with you. In different forms it's coming to you and throwing a lot of obstacles on your spiritual life. In all these circumstances, the only personality who can help you is Krishna, nobody else. So unless and until we go with this understanding that it is by Krishna's mercy that you will understand Bhagavad Gita, it is by Krishna's mercy you will understand Srimad Bhagavatam, particularly the Ekadasha Skandam. Ekadasha Skandam is the knowledge beyond Bhagavad Gita. Even that knowledge is understood when Krishna wants us to understand. Uddhava, while speaking to Krishna, acknowledged this to him. And Krishna was very clear with Uddhava, told him, have you understood and cleared all the doubts what you had when you started these questions? And only then Uddhava could answer to Krishna that what you wanted me to understand, I have understood. My connections with this external world is over. And that is how Uddhava's departure. So from there you can see, sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puradhana bhaktosi me sakha chedi rahasyam hedaduttamam. This bhaktosi, you are my devotee. Therefore he says to Arjuna that rahasyam, this confidential thing, hedaduttamam, that it is most important thing, and I will explain that to you. Now you can see why even after reading Bhagavad Gita, many people read Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So many people have read Bhagavad Gita in this world, but they are not getting the understanding of Bhagavad Gita. Why? Because they have not taken Krishna's shelter in understanding. Without Krishna's mercy, you cannot understand one letter from Bhagavad Gita. That is how it is. The knowledge is so high in the Bhagavad Gita. So, coming back to these verses again. Originally, Krishna has spoken about the imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam. Why this was spoken to the sun god? Krishna says like that. That in the olden days, there were Varnashrama Dharma was existing. I mentioned this before. And in the Varnashrama Dharma, there was Brahmanas, there was Kshatriyas. These two, Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, are the major forces in the Varnashrama Dharma. Vaishya and Shudra, they have relatively a lower position. Lower in the sense that if the Kshatra Dharma or Kshatriya nature and the Brahmana Dharma or Brahmana's nature is strong in this world will go on fairly smoothly. It will be a smooth ride. But when these two things get weakened, Brahman and Kshatriya, then the Vaishyas and Shudras come and they will rule the world. And that's what we experience in the modern society, that which is purely Vaishyas and Shudras affair. And therefore, naturally, it will miss all the spiritual values in there, because they do not know, they have not training to understand the spiritual life, nor do they have the intelligence or the education to know the spiritual principles of life. So therefore, what it is spoken generally is Brahman and Kshatram, the two forces in this world. And in the olden days, what used to happen was, because of the Varnashrama system was very strictly followed, the Brahmanas were properly situated. In other words, what was the function of the Brahmana? The Brahmana was properly situated in God consciousness. He had no time for frivolous activities. He didn't want to waste his time in doing all the rubbish in this world. No, that was not expected of him. What was expected from him to be properly situated in his Vedic, in his maintenance of the Vedic traditions, studying the Vedas, reciting the Vedas, performing the sacrifices, and always fixed up in spiritual life. This is very important. 24 hours fixed up in spiritual life, fully detached from the material world, no attachment to anything. And there, such people are called Brahmanishta. Brahmanishta means fully fixed up in Krishna consciousness. That was the situation then. Brahmanas were fixed up in Krishna consciousness completely. And because they were fixed up in Krishna consciousness, Karma Yoga had nothing to do with them. It didn't disturb them. It didn't have to bother them very much. So then who else was there, Karma Yoga? Not only that, Brahmanas, although they were in the Brahmanishta or in the Krishna consciousness to that extent, they were not influenced by the lower modes of nature. It will not touch them. They were so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that nothing was on their way in developing the spiritual knowledge and through that to devotion. It will come to them. But a majority of them did not maintain a very serious householder life. They had such austerity and penances and renunciation in them that they were able to maintain a very, very steady and strong spiritual life through Brahmacharyam, for Brahmacharya Ashram, and move on later on to Sannyasa Ashram. So they were able to do that. But Kshatriya's case was different. Kshatriyas were such, they had to rule the country and they had to rule the different places. So what Kshatriyas used to do, the Kshatriyas, they were engaged in householder life, number one. Number two, apart from householder life, they were engaged in all the activities in this world, in the material nature. They, if you look into the whole solar dynasty, the lineage of the solar dynasty, you will find all of them, Lord Ramachandra and above, all the other kings, Aja, Raghu, Dasharatha, and so many others before that also, and even after Lord Ramachandra, who came in the solar dynasty and even in the lunar dynasty also, many of those kings were, all of them were householders, and they were always performing, they were in Karmanishta also. Karmanishta means, Brahmanishta and Karmanishta, there are two things. Brahmanishta means purely fixed in spiritual life, nothing else. Karmanishta means engaged in activities in this world, but at the same time, the difficulty was, then they were engaged in activities that is going to have its own effect on the people who are executing the karma, isn't it? So, because it was like that, the Kshatriyas had a greater problem, and all the Kshatriyas were householders as well. So you can see they were householders, they were engaged in karma, two things together. So you can imagine what will happen after that. They will continuously execute different activities. But all these kings were so intelligent, that's why they are called Rajarshis. In due course, they got the understanding that this is not my business here. And they lived for such a long time, they were able to give up their material activities at a particular time in life, hand over the kingdom to their children and go to the forest and perform again penances, austerities, and thereby obtain their spiritual strength and eventually go back to the spiritual world. They were such clever kings, they were. They didn't get stuck here. Every 4 years they want to get re-elected and continue the life here all the time. That wasn't at their goal. They wanted to escape from here, but at the same time they executed their life here in full understanding as an obligation to please Krishna. So this is that difference between the Brahmanas and the Kshatriyas. This is how this yoga system existed in the beginning. Krishna says there that unfortunate thing is that what has happened is the Grihasthas lost that strength. The Brahmanas although lost it completely, the Grihasthas also lost. In other words, this is how Brahman and Kshatram has failed in this world. Brahmana lost their spiritual strength. They did not feel the need to maintain that spiritual life as powerful as it was used to be. So therefore, the Brahminical qualities were lost, and in due course, Brahmanas also became victimized by that. What happened to Kshatriyas? Kshatriyas who were householders, in due course of time, that Grihastha ashram also got disturbed. The result was that they became Grihasthas in such a way that they thought that this Grihastha ashram is the ultimate goal. They have also forgotten that they have a higher goal of going back home back to Krishna. So because of that, the desire for going back to the spiritual world didn't come to them. This is the change of yugam, change of time in this world. When the three modes of material nature is changes as it balances, accordingly, the time changes, isn't it? Krita yugam, kritam trayada dwabharam kali, the four yugas in this world, they keep changing based on the modes of nature. When the modes of nature changes, then the time also changes, our intelligence changes, mentality changes, our activities change, everything changes. So in that way, with the advancement of time, all these things have happened. Then, but
sa evayam maya tedya yoga prokta puradana bhaktosi me sakhajedi rahasyam hedad uktamam.
Then even if one has a desire, and if one is willing to execute these yoga systems, still, unless one has the support from Krishna, it is very difficult to make it a success. That is what Krishna is saying there. This rahasyam hedad uttamam, it means also that very important aspects of the karma yoga. That is what Krishna is talking to Arjuna. That Arjuna, if you want to make it a success, that you have to have that a relationship with Krishna, and at the same time Krishna's mercy is necessary. Without that mercy, it's not possible to make it work. Then Karma Yoga, when we discussed, I mentioned that there are two things in Karma Yoga. What are they? One is that one, Krishna says there that kartrutvam and boktrutvam. Kartrutvam means I am the doer, that thinking behind it all the time. I am not the doer, that has to come. And similarly, boktrutvam, I am the enjoyer, that also has to go. So it is performed for pleasing Krishna, and it is not done because of our, we are not the doers. That also is another object or another problem in that part of Karma Yoga. Krishna says about this in those verses. Now, after this, Krishna has spoken about something else. Why Krishna chose the sun god as the first personality? That is an important question. You see, the sun god is used, sun god is mentioned here as the first personality who was spoken about Karma Yoga. There is a reason behind it. Reason is that if you notice, although sun god is the first personality who heard about this yoga system, there were many others who came after that, but you don't see any time they are referred to. They are not referred to anywhere. But sun god is still referred there. Why is that? The reason is that even today, if you look at the sun, you will notice one thing. Sun's activities. Every morning comes in, every evening leaves, isn't it? That is how sun performs his activities in this world. So because it is like that, he is also called as Karma Sakshi. Karma Sakshi means all our activities, he is the witness. He is the witness of all our activities. Sun and the moon, they are both our witnesses. But the sun planet, Vivasvan, who is in the sun planet, who is the predominating deity of the sun planet Vivasvan, this Vivasvan has one quality, that he comes to this world every morning and he does his work and then he leaves. He doesn't think what is going on in this world. He doesn't bother about it, does he? He comes, he does his part and he leaves this world. Every day, day after day after day, it continues one after the other. This is the principle of Karma Yoga. You come here, you do what you have to do, you leave. You don't bother. And that is why Vaivaswani is given the first position in the Karma Yoga. He is the first teacher to teach us Karma Yoga. Every morning, if you get up and if you do see the sun, if you look at him and think about how he executes his work here. He comes here, he does his work and he goes away. Comes back again. This is how one should execute Karma Yoga. That is what is why he has been taken as the first example. Imam vivasvade yogam proktavanaham avyayam Vaivaswan manave praha manurikshaguve bravil. That Vaivaswan got this position. Nobody else you find here. The others have all gone. But Vaivaswan is still there. And from Vaivaswan, one should learn this. This is the principle. And instead of getting attached to the material world and our activities in this world, one should slowly develop, follow the route of Vivasvan and learn from him that this is how one has to perform his activities in this world. So, Vivasvan has been mentioned as the Acharya of Karma Yoga here. You can see this. Anybody can observe this, especially those who are observing. But if you don't even look up, what's the chance of seeing the sun? All the time, if you look down and look at things or busy in this world, then there is nothing to learn. You can't learn anything. But if you want to learn something, Krishna has given us that witness standing in the sky who will tell us what his duty is. He's just that. He goes away from here.
Arjuna Vajam Abram Bhavado Janma Param Janma Vivaswala Kadameda Dvijaniyam Tumado Proktavaniri.
Arjuna had a doubt at this time. That Arjuna says to Krishna, that this is surprising to me. Arjuna says to Krishna,
Abram Bhavado Janma Param Janma Vivaswalam.
That he says to Krishna, Krishna, you were not born at the same time as the sun god was born. Vivaswan was born. Vivaswan was born long ago. You have come to this world much later. Arjuna says to Krishna, that so I do not fully understand. Katham edad vijaniyam tamado proktavaniri. How did you speak this to Arjuna to Vivaswan? This is my doubt. Arjuna says to Krishna, which is a logical and reasonable question to ask, isn't it? When you are hearing from Krishna such things, you have to ask that question to Krishna, that you have mentioned that you have instructed this to Vivaswan before, but I only see you, only you have come here 100 years ago or 50 years ago, but I cannot understand how you have instructed this to Vivaswan. In reply to that, Krishna says,
Bahuni me vedidani janmani tavajarjuna tanyaham veda sarvani natvam veta parandava.
Krishna started replying, Arjuna, that Bahuni me vedidani janmani tavajarjuna. Arjuna, the difference is this, that you and me have gone through so many different bodies before. Krishna is saying this, that many, many times I have appeared, you have also appeared. But the difference is that I remember all my appearances, what for I have come, what I did here, where did I go back, and when did I come again. All my previous appearances is known to me, what I have done here.
Bahuni me vedidani janmani tavajarjuna tanyaham veda sarvani.
I remember everything what has happened. Natvam veta parandava. But you do not know anything what has happened in the past. You do not even know how many times you are born before and how many times you have died. You are not aware of that. Because I am the absolute truth. I know what has happened in the past. Krishna's very bold and frank statement to Arjuna to make him realize that he should not misunderstand the things that Krishna is speaking without any the depth of knowledge of what was happening. That's why Krishna wanted to clarify that point to Arjuna.
Ajobi sannave alpa bhudanam ishvaro besan prakritim swamadhishthaya sambhavami alpamayam.
Then Krishna, in the next few verses we will find, Krishna wanted to make Arjuna understand, don't think of me as just as your friend Krishna. I am something more than that. So in order to bring that understanding to Arjuna, because otherwise what will happen is ordinary conditioned souls will think naturally that Krishna is making all these different statements in the Bhagavad Gita. Where is the proof for all these things, isn't it? They will ask that question like the scientists do. They want proof for everything. They can also ask Krishna, where is the proof you are saying is right? You can ask all the kind of questions to Krishna like this. But Bhagavad Gita is not meant for those people. They will not understand. They cannot understand because the understanding of Bhagavad Gita and the knowledge from Bhagavad Gita comes to one by Krishna's mercy. That is the first thing.
Ajobisanna veyalpam bhutanam ishwarobisan prakritim swamadhishtaya sambhavami alpamayam.
Then Krishna says to Arjuna that you will understand one thing.
Prakritim swamadhishtaya.
This whole material nature, I am the basis of that. Can anyone say that in this world, the whole material creation, I am the basis of that? Material nature, prakriti.
Prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavami alpamaya.
Alpamaya, my own personal work, I have expanded into this. And that is how I create, I maintain, I destroy everything. And Krishna's different expansions in different Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva, in three different forms, they manifest and they execute the work what they are supposed to do to please Krishna.
Prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavami alpamayam.
Then
What you have to remember, Krishna says to Arjuna, that I do not have a birth. I am not bound by birth and death. Those things don't affect me. And also, there is another difference to me, that I am not affected by the material world, material existence. That doesn't disturb me or doesn't have any influence on me. We are all conditioned by the material nature, isn't it? As soon as we take birth in this world, you can see how the conditioning starts. Depending on where you were born, immediately you acquire all the qualities of that particular place where you come from, or the particular community where you are attached to, or the places where you grew up. So many factors will influence your way of thinking. You are not independent from that. Naturally, those thoughts will have a strong influence on everybody. So Krishna is saying here, such things have no influence on me. Ajo abhisan avyalma bhutana amishvaro abhisan. That I am always the same, I don't change. That is the another aspect of Krishna. That everything what we see and find in this world has no impact on Krishna, because everything has come from Krishna. Ajo abhisan avyalma bhutana amishvaro abhisan. Prakritim swam adhishtaya sambhavami almamayam. That if you want to know why it is like that, why it is the system is like that, why Krishna has created a system where he is not affected by that, whereas we are all affected, there is a reason, Krishna says, and that is in the next words. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharada abhyuthanam adharmasya tadalpanam srijamyaham. That yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharada. Krishna, through Vedic philosophy, has given one message to this world. What is that message? The message is that if you maintain dharma, dharma means religious principles. If you maintain dharma in this world, dharma will protect you. Dharma will sustain you. But if you do not care for dharma, and if you simply engage in adharma or irreligious activities, what will happen is, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharadam. That as much as dharma starts deteriorating in this world, when dharma starts failing in this world, glani means when it starts destroyed, when dharma or religious principle starts getting destroyed. By what? Due to our own activities, not by anybody else. By our own activities, when we destroy dharma, what will happen is, glanir bhavati bharada abhyuthanam adharmasya, adharma will come up, isn't it? Adharma will come. No, naturally, what happens is, Krishna has given us instructions how to live in this world. This is not very difficult to understand. Krishna's words are so straightforward and simple also, that if you put it in practice, you will see the difference. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharada. When the dharma start deteriorating, in other words, when we don't follow the religious principles what Krishna has given to us, we completely ignore it, and we start doing things according to our whims, and we start acting like that in this world, which means sinful activities, isn't it? That's what happens. If you reject Vedic principles, and if you reject the Shastram, what will happen? Immediately, you will start engaging in sinful activities, because then there is no other force to control your life in this world. So Krishna is saying there, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharada. The result will be that abhyuthanam adharmasya. Adharmam will immediately become the habit. Adharmam will become the way of life. Abhyuthanam adharmasya tadalpanam srijamyaham. It is at that time that I have to come. Because reason for that is, what normally happens is, when you deviate from dharmam, life will become adharmam, irreligious. When adharmam comes, there will be, what will be the result of that? Distress will happen. Most of the times, our happiness and distress is due to our own activities. If we engage in sinful activities and hellish activities, what explains, Bhagavad Gita explains like that, naturally, the results will come back and trouble us later on. That is the reason why Shastras are saying very strongly, we should stick to dharmam. Dharmam at any cost. Because the distress is coming from our own actions. Nobody else is responsible for that. It's our own actions which comes back to us in the form of distress later. So, abhyuthanam adharmasya. So, if you engage in adharmic activities, what will happen is, that will come back to us in the form of distress. So, when distress comes like that, then what will happen? We will try to rectify the situation. And the rectification is like this. When you start rectifying, you will engage in more sinful activity. This is the usual scene in this world. Everywhere you find this, first there is a quarrel builds up, first of all, due to their own ignorance of religious, they don't study the Shastram. They don't try to understand what Krishna has told us to do. We ignore them. And then we manufacture some process of religion. And when we start fighting each other, and then when it's not work, when it doesn't work, he's not following my religion, I'm not following his religion, all these kind of stupid arguments will develop from there. And then what we see is, we engage in adharmic activities, irreligious activities, which has nothing to do with religion. And the result of that was, more distress will come. It will be followed by more distress. And when it comes like that, nobody can help the situation. That is why Krishna says, I have to come. There is no other choice. Because you have left my instructions, you have gone and, like the father tells the children, I have given some instructions to you, children doesn't want to follow, they go and do some some mischief, and when things go wrong, what choice have they got? They have to come back and report to the father, things have gone like this, do something about it. Father has to come and correct the situation. It's exactly like that. Yada yada hi dharmasya glaneru bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tada almanam srijamyaham. Krishna says very, very categorically here that when dharmam becomes adharmam, the moment it becomes adharmam, then you are lost. You can't do anything after that. After that, don't try to correct it, Krishna says. That is our mistake also. In many instances, you will always notice this in this world with many, many big so-called leaders also. They will do things, activities. They themselves will make the blunder first. After that, they are trying to adjust this, adjust that. So many things they try to do, but nothing works at the end. One after the other, calamities come. And every time a calamity has come, they'll call for a meeting, a resolution, another resolution. What do they lose? They don't lose anything at the end. It is somebody else's children going and dying there. So what does it matter to them? But they have their own reasoning and logic behind it. They will talk about patriotism or thisism or thatism will come. But Krishna is saying, you got yourself attached to the land, first of all, because this is not your land, it's my bhumi. Bhumi maybe is mine, earth. You come here, I allowed you to live here for some time, but immediately you took possession of it, first thing. You yourself started claiming, this is mine, started building the fences everywhere. And then after that, you are saying that he is not following the rule, I is not following the rule. So start fighting then. And forget, and you completely ignored my instructions, and start acting, so that I came as Varahamurti. And then I had to do what I had to do. So you will see all these appearances has happened only due to the fall down in the dharmam. When dharmam drops, adharma increases, more sinful activities we start engaging in. And when it becomes totally unbearable, Krishna comes and he says, Yadha yadha hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhyuthanam adharmasya tadalpanam srajamyaham paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya dushkradam dharma samsthavanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So Krishna knows when these things will happen, how often it will happen, when it is likely to happen. There is somebody watching, a close monitoring the situation, what's going on here. We shouldn't think nobody is seeing us, who is watching us, we can do what we like. If this mentality comes, what is normal with most of us, this is what happens. Then you can see how powerful the knowledge of Bhagavad Gita is. That Bhagavad Gita has been presented to this world by Krishna's causeless mercy. That Krishna says to us that you take this instruction seriously and follow this strictly, you will not have to regret. You will live peacefully in this world, not only in the spiritual world. Even in this world, your life can be peaceful. That's why Krishna is saying there, paritranaya sadhuinam vinashaya dushkritam dharma samsthavanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge. So when the adharmam increases, Krishna says, I come back. And what do? Three things I have to do. He says, paritranaya sadhunam. There is always devotees in this world. It's not that this world will be without devotees. There will be always a few. It is supposed to be like that. That there may not be 100% devotees, but there will be a few people who are following Krishna's, who have faith in Krishna's words. That is the most important thing. Paritranaya sadhunam. Sadhu means devotees. Devotees will always be there, and protecting them is my duty, Krishna says. I have to do that. Vinashaya dushkradam. And the demons have to go, Krishna says. That also my duty. As much as I have to protect the devotees, I have to destroy the demons as well. പരിത്രാണായ സാധൂന വിനാശായ ദുഷ്കൃതം വാട്ട് എൽസ് ധർമ്മ സംസ്ഥാപനാർത്ഥായ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദീസ് ടു തിങ്സ് ഐ ഹാവ് ടു എസ്റ്റാബ്ലിഷ് ദി ധർമ്മം ഓർ റിലീജിയസ് പ്രിൻസിപ്പൽസ് ബാക്ക് അഗെയിൻ ദെൻ ഇൻ ഓർഡർ ടു ഡു ദാറ്റ് സംഭവാമി യുഗേ യുഗേ മില്ലനിയം ആഫ്റ്റർ മില്ലനിയം ഐ കീപ് കമ്മിങ് ഹിയർ ടു ഡു ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ വാസ് ട്രൈങ് ടു എക്സ്പ്ലെയിൻ ദി പ്രോസസ് ഓഫ് religious principles and their necessity to follow them. And if we don't follow it, if we reject it, then we have to pay for it. You don't have to blame anybody else except ourselves. So when things are going wrong, normally our tendency is to blame Krishna. Why God is doing this to me? Why God is doing that to me? Why, if there is a God, we will say like this, isn't it? So this foolish understanding what has come to us, that there is no controller, there is nobody observing anything what we are engaged in activities. Once that ignorance builds up in our mind, then immediately it has to be, this has to follow after that. That is what in those few verses Krishna has explained. Then, janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada tektva deham vanar janmam neidi mahamedi shorjunaha. Very important verse in the Bhagavad Gita. If you read that verse, you may think, what has everybody asked a question about this verse? Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada tektval deham punar janmam neidi mahamedi sorjunaha. Krishna says there to Arjuna that janma karma jame divyam devam yo veti tatvada tektval deham punar janmam neidi mahamedi sorjunaha. That Krishna says to Arjuna, janmam and karma. Janma means Krishna's appearance. Krishna's appearance. Janma karma jame divyam. That Krishna's appearance in this world, Krishna says, janmam. And karmam. Karma means the activities after the appearance. Krishna's activities. Janma karma jame divyam. Krishna's this divine pastimes in this world. Particularly the pastimes immediately after the appearance. You can see, Srimad Bhagavatam has given a lot of importance to that, the childhood pastimes of Krishna. Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvadaha. That if one understand the tatvada, not superficially, but in truth, if one understands, evam yo veti tatvada, if one understands me, Krishna says, my activities and appearance in this world properly, tetval deham punarjanmam. Then when one gives up this body, neidi mahamedi sorjunaha, the result is that he will come back to me. Very, very easy to hear, isn't it? Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada tetval deham punarjanmam neidi mahamedi sorjunaha. That when one hears this, one immediately thinks that what else is Krishna saying through that verse? Because of this verse is so pregnant with meaning that one has to think a lot about it, because Krishna's appearance in this world, Srimad Bhagavatam gives you a beautiful description of the appearance of Krishna. In 3-4 chapters, in the beginning of the 10th canto is Krishna's appearance. Everything is discussed there. Then after that, Krishna's activities begin in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So, all these appearance and also the activities after that, if one understands, again, janma karma jame divyam, they are divine pastimes of Krishna. Evam yo veti tatvadaha. If he understands them, tetval deham punarjanmam. Then, once you give up your body, punarjanmam, repetition of birth, neidi mahamedi sorjunaha, will not happen to that person. This is what that verse is saying to us. Now, when we hear this verse, naturally our mind goes in another direction. We start thinking that I've read 10th canto many times and I have understood now 10th canto. Why I'm not going back to the spiritual world, isn't it? That will be the next question. What coming there? Comes from that. It is not that simple as it is, like as it's spoken like that. Because in order to understand this, we have to understand what is Krishna. Krishna means Krishna keeps this whole creation in this whole cosmic manifestation. Krishna keeps it going in different ways. By His personal presence, through His devotees, through the Shastram, and through various other means, Krishna maintains this creation. That you can see if you very peacefully sit down sometime and think about this, how this whole manifestation is functioning and keep going. You can see that the principle behind it is Krishna's energies are working in different ways to keep this whole system going. And in order to do that, from time immemorial, Krishna has developed a certain process here. Sometimes Krishna comes personally, like Lord Ramachandra, Lord Narasimhadev, and so many other forms like that. He takes different forms to do that. Sometimes He accepts different personalities through whom Krishna manifests His potency, which you can see also. And in order to show that, and it is from this understanding that one realizes that except Krishna, nothing else exists in this world. Everything when you find in this world, wherever you find, yad yad vibhurimal satvam mama tejam cha sambhavam, Krishna says you should see me. Whenever you find something extraordinary in this world, you should see Krishna there. This is Krishna's words. So, in this way, if you study this world, at some point you will understand that so many personalities who came here in the form of birds, beasts, animals, and also vanaras or the gandharvas, and so many different personalities, all through whom Krishna has come. Krishna has appeared here and manifested these potencies of the Supreme Lord in different ways. So, they are all part and parcel of Krishna. And when one understands them, who are actually representatives of Krishna here in this world, you will have a slight understanding of Krishna. And in order to understand all the activities of Krishna, for example, if you take the letter Om, Pranavam, which is also Krishna, it is representation of Krishna, you can realize Krishna through Om, the letter. And similarly, you can realize Krishna through so many other personalities. So in order to make us realize what is Krishna, there is some full chapter in the Bhagavad Gita, which is the 10th chapter, which is known as the Vibhuti Yoga. Vibhuti Yoga means the opulences of the Absolute, Krishna's opulences. So many opulences are spoken there. You may wonder why all these opulences of Krishna is spoken. It is only with this intention that by studying about these personalities mentioned in this chapter, you will be able to realize that Krishna is working through so many different sources. Krishna is present in this world through different processes, for different personalities. Like, for example, it is mentioned, you can look at that verses if you like. It is in the 10th chapter, verse 21 to 28. Krishna says there, it is a long list of who is Krishna. Adityanam aham Vishnu, Jyotisham Raviram Shuman, Marijam Marudam Asmi, Nakshatranam aham Shashi, Vedanam Samavedosmi, Devanam Asmi Vasava, Indriyanam Manaschasmi, Bhudanam Asmi Chetanaham, Rudranam Shankarashasmi, Vitesho Yaksharakshasam, Vasunam Bhavagashasmi, Meru Shikarinamaham, Puryodasam Jamukhyamam, Vidhiparta Bhaspadin, Senani Namaham Skanda, Sarasamasmi Sagara, Maharshinam Brugraham, Giramasmi Gamacharam, Yetnyanam Javayat Yosmi, Savaranam Himalaya, Ashwatthasar Overcharam, Devarshinam Janarada, Gandharvanam Chitrarada, Siddhanam Kabilomini, Uchay Sharasamashwanam, Vidhimam Rudol Bhavam, Airavadam Gajendranam, Aranam Janaradivam, Ayudhanamaham Vajram, Jainunasmi Kamadu, Prajanas Chasmi Gandharpam, Sarpanamasmi Vasugi, Anandaschasmi Naganam, Vajano Yalasamaham, Piramari Majasmi, Yamasamyamadamaham, Prahladas Chasmi Daityanam, Kaya Kaleda Amaham, Praganan Jamayendraham, Vainadeyas Chabakshinam, Pavana Pavamasmi Rama, Shastrabaha Amaham, Jashanam Majasmi, Swadasamasmija, Navi, സർഗാനാമാതിരംഗസ്യ മദ്യം ജൈവാഹ അർജുന അധ്യാത്മവിദ്യാവിദ്യാനം വാദ പ്രോദതാമഹം അക്ഷരാണാമകാരോസ്മി ദ്വന്ദ് സ്വാമാസീയസ്യ അഹമേവാക്ഷയകാലോദാതാഹം വിശദോ മുഖ മൃത്യുസർവഹരശ്ചാഹം ഉദ്ഭവശ്ച ഭവിഷ്യതാം കീർത്തി ശ്രീവാക്ചനാരീണാം സ്മൃതിർമേഹാദൃതി ക്ഷമ ബൃഹത്സാന്തസാംനാം ഗായത്രീം ഛന്ദസാമഹം മാസാനാം മാർഗശീർഷോഹം മൃദൂനാം കുസുമാകര ജീവിതം ചലയതാമസ്മി തേജസ് തേജസ്വിനാമഹം ജയോസ്മി വ്യവസായോസ്മി സത്വം സത്വതാമഹം വൃഷ്ണീയാം വാസുദേവോസ്മി പാണ്ഡവാനാം ധനഞ്ജയ മുനിയാമപ്യഹം വ്യാസ കവീനാം ശനാ കവി ദണ്ഡോദമയതാമസ്മി നീതിരസ്മി ജിഗീഷതാം മൗനം ചൈവാസ്മി ദുഃഖ്യാനാം ജ്ഞാനം ജ്ഞാനവതാമഹം. A long list of Krishna saying who I am. Krishna says, in different cases, I am this. Among Adityanam Aham Vishnu, there are 12 Adityas. Among them I am Vishnu. Jyotisham Ravi Amshuman, Marijar Maridam Asmi, Nakshatranam Aham Shashi. Like that, he goes on. Among the stars, I am the moon. Among the Vedas, I am the Samavedam. So, why it is spoken like this? Because all these, what is listed here, they had performed such act, they are all personalities. Don't misunderstand. Even all these Vedas, they are personified personalities. These personalities have got into that position by serving Krishna. By their special service, Krishna has elevated them. Elevation means Krishna started manifesting through them on a much higher degree. That is how they got that position. Only when Krishna wants to manifest through an individual, that individual goes up in the life or goes down in the life. When Krishna withdraws, all your energy is also gone. You are finished, nothing left. Then you are gone down. When Krishna comes in and Krishna became powerful within ourselves, then that personality automatically goes up in his position. So all those personalities who are listed here, they have attained their position. They are all very special personalities. Why? Krishna says, I am that. All these personalities I am, Krishna says. Among the Vedas, I am Samavedam. And among the sages, I am Narada Maharshi. Among the people who are good in fighting, Acharya, I am Arjuna. And among the Kavi, among the poets, I am Shukracharya. Like this, yes, given, you can read that chapter at your own convenience. You will see that Krishna has listed so many great personalities and says, I am that. How did they come to that? Because of their special service to Krishna. Being pleased by their service, Krishna has elevated them by bringing himself deeper into their consciousness. Or in other words, their Krishna consciousness becomes stronger and they become got themselves elevated. So, these appearances of Krishna, if one understands any of these personalities, Krishna says that janma karma jami divyam evam yo veti tatvadam, that if you understand all these different appearances of mine in different forms. In fact, the whole world is nothing but a school for those who want to advance spiritually. Krishna says there is enough opportunities here to see me in different places, in different forms. They all exist there. And throughout Shastram also you will find all these personalities telling us so many different things. Many, many things to learn from all of them. Prayers from the Vedas, in the Srimad Bhagavatam comes much later, how they pray to Krishna. Vedas personified. Similarly, The service Sri Narada Maharshi has performed for Krishna. The service what Shukracharya has performed for Krishna. And similarly, the elephants, the Uchaishravas, how he has performed the service to Krishna. Airavadam, how he has performed the service for Krishna. Like that, all of them, at some point or the other, throughout the history, they have executed certain activities to please Krishna. The result was that they all became Krishna's very confidential devotees and confidential servants. So when they say something, it comes true. Why? Because Krishna is present in them. Krishna is pleased to be there with their service to him. So Krishna says, janma karma jami divyam evam yo veti tatvadaham, that if you understand all these different expansions of mine in different forms which has come to this world, my own appearance, my own pastimes, if you all understand all these things, Krishna says, tektva deham punarjanmam, that from there, when that understanding comes, Krishna says there, tektva deham punarjanmam, through all these different appearances, what I have, or through these different personalities, I get many, many things done in this world, Krishna says. That is the another important side of that. That, that when you focus your mind on all these personalities who are listed there, apart from Krishna's own pastimes, this is only an extra list what is given there. But in addition to that, there is many other major appearances of Krishna, like Malsyam, Gurmam, Varaham, Narasimham, Vamanam, and onward so many other incarnations. All these things has a purpose of coming here. So, in other words, when one studies Srimad Bhagavatam, and when understands Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna says, you will understand me. That is what it basically means. That through Srimad Bhagavatam, that is why in the Srimad Bhagavatam, from the very beginning, it starts with the different major incarnations of Krishna, in order to understand Krishna, who is Krishna. And when one understands Krishna in that way, that understanding is different than see understanding Krishna just by seeing the deity, or by seeing a photograph, or by reading a book. That is not that understanding. This understanding is different. From this understanding, you understand who is Krishna. And that understanding will come when one studies Srimad Bhagavatam, and also all the others, Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, and all through this, all these personalities appear. And this is not the only list, this is only a part of it. There are many more where Krishna has exhibited his potency in different places, in different times and different conditions. So when understands all that thing, his Krishna consciousness will become so strong, and he will realize that the whole creation is nothing but place of activity. Nothing else exists in this. Whole material creation, whole creation itself is nothing but Krishna's expansions of his energy. And when one comes to that understanding, Krishna says he can come back to the spiritual world. You have understood, you have realized Krishna. That is what that verse means. So, simply, we should not misunderstand that it is such a simple verse. Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada tektval deham punarjanmam neti mahameti sorjuna. That one may misunderstand, and they will ask, as soon as they read this question, translation and purport, then they will ask a question, oh, I read that, I understood that, now what? What then? This is the next question, isn't it? That's how we are. We'll ask the next thing. Oh, what is there? I understood now. What is there? I have not gone back home back to Godhead. Still I am here. Why? This is how we will ask questions. This is our way of analyzing things. Because if you develop that kind of mind like that, this is will not help. Because Krishna says here, Janma karma jame divyam. Every single word in that verse is so potent. It is divine, Krishna says. As soon as he says divine, that means we cannot understand. It is so deep in understanding. So all these things takes time. That is why it's necessary to go through the Bhagavad Gita and through Srimad Bhagavatam so much in detail as possible, that one will slowly build up that way of thinking what Krishna has spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna's appearance, we think that it is a simple thing what has happened. But Srimad Bhagavatam will tell you how much background scene behind that appearance. We may take it as a very simple activity. No, it is not like that. Krishna's appearance in this world, the cause behind his appearance, what prompted for Krishna to come, and what circumstances, what forced Krishna to appear in this world, all these things, and Krishna's, and so many things, Sudev Goswami has spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam about Krishna's appearance. When we understand all those things in detail, then you can understand Krishna's appearance. Similarly, Krishna's activity is also in the same way. You can understand when you start understanding all the expansions and all the other different incarnations and all the other great devotees and all the other great personalities who have served Krishna. Hanuman served Krishna when Ramachandra came here. And that service Krishna has never forgotten. So he says, I am Hanuman in a particular instance. And similarly, different mountains, they have served Krishna. Govardhana Hill, I am Krishna. He is Krishna says, Govardhana Hill is me. So like this, you will see throughout, if you go back in the whole of history since creation, you will find in all the Upanishads and Puranas everywhere, Krishna's energy working in different ways through different sources. When we understand all these things, and start realizing that Krishna is not simply what we think Krishna is, but Krishna's presence is in everything. He is present in every living entity. And in stage by stage, initially we have to appreciate these great personalities. That is how it starts. This realization of seeing Krishna everywhere comes in this way. First we start appreciating Krishna's presence in the great personalities. That is how we see Krishna's splendor in all these great personalities. Then after that stage is over, then you start looking at the other living entities. For example, if you take, for example, different plants and trees, Krishna's presence there as well. Take, for example, Tulsi plant. Krishna has given a special potency for that plant, isn't it? Because without Tulsi, you cannot have deity worship. There is no deity worship without Tulsi plant. So that potency, only Tulsi has got. Nobody else has that. So that is a special potency Krishna has given to Tulsi plant. Similarly, at least in Ayurveda, you can say, there are many plants in Ayurveda which has got a special curing potency for a certain disease. If you substitute with another plant, it won't work. There are many, many names mentioned in the Ayurveda. You can see there are Ayurvedic medicine, even not only Ayurveda, why to talk about Ayurveda, even the allopathy medicines, they are extracted from these medicines. They are extracted from these plants, the herbs, and so many other things, they are extracted from that. Who gave that potency for that particular plant to cure the disease? Krishna has given that. Krishna has given that. That if you use this particular plant, your particular disease can be cured by that potency of that plant. So Krishna has given that potency. So initially, first you see Krishna in all the great personalities, like what is listed here. That is the first stage. In the second stage, you start seeing Krishna in all, almost all the living entities, other living entities also in this world. In everything, Krishna has given some potency to everyone. You take an elephant, Krishna has given some potency to the elephant. What's that? A strength, what elephant has got, and the size, and so many factors related to that. Elephant has its own potency. The lion has its own potency, and the tiger has its own potency, and the snake has its own potency. Like that, if you look at every living entity, you will find that Krishna has given some special potency to each and every living entity. That is the second stage of realization. After that, what comes? First stage, you see the great personalities who have served Krishna and got recognition from Krishna. That is the first stage. When that stage is over, then you start seeing in other living entities who have all got this special potencies, what is given to them by Krishna's creative process. Krishna has recognized them for some reason or the other. This is only you have it, nobody else will have it. Just like Tulsi was told, you have this potency, that you will be asked, you will be used for deity worship everywhere. Similarly, in so many different plants in the medical system, they all got that potency. Krishna has given them that potency to them, that from you, he can use you and cure that particular illness from that. So like this, Krishna has done. Now, after that, on the last stage is, Tvanna kinchil prapanche. Everywhere there is only Krishna, nothing else exists. Everywhere what you see is ultimately only Krishna's potency, nothing else. When this realization comes to the living entity, he is released from this material world. Then he has actually understood the position of Krishna. And so long as he has not understood, in the lowest realization, when one comes to the temple, first he thinks Krishna is only in the deity, nowhere else. This is the lowest realization. It starts from there. That is the Kanishta Adhikari stage is like that. He will only think, in the Shrimad Bhagavatam, in relationship with the Bhakti, Kavalavasu, they spoke to Devahuri Devi, that there are three kinds of devotees. And the first and the lowest kind is like this. He will come to the temple, he will think that Krishna is only in the deity, nowhere else. Others, I don't care whether they can go to hell. It doesn't matter. That's my attitude. It's me. He does not even think that Krishna can look at the back side. He can only see the front side. That's the way he approaches, sees the deity. So people who see Krishna only in the deity, they are not seeing very much. That is, of course, the beginning stage. It is like that. You will see only Krishna's presence in the deity. So from there, the understanding builds up. Then when he starts hearing Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, slowly start he realizing that Krishna is not only in the deity, he is elsewhere as well. And that is how that comes to the higher understanding. First was the devotion, the mode of tamogunam. And then when it comes to rajogunam, the understanding changes. In tamogunam, the understanding is that Krishna is there, I have come to see him, and I am going to make a contract with him. The contract is that I will offer so much to you, and in return you give this to me. This is the contract beginning of it. Krishna accepts even that contract. That is how kind Krishna is. Even though you have come with such a crooked mind to sign a contract, Krishna is saying, at least you have come to me. That itself is a wonderful thing. That is how kind Krishna is. You may not appreciate these things. When you are coming, you are saying, thinking that I have taken so much effort to come and see Krishna. And he doesn't appreciate me. That's what you are thinking. But Krishna is saying, at least you have come. You have thought that good heart to come. Some people don't even want to come. What to say about seeing Krishna. So it begins from there, that the very basic principle of to come and to offer respects to Krishna. But still, the mind is impure. It's not clean. So therefore, what does he think? He's thinking that I'll come, and at the moment what I want in my life is this, this, then that. So I can get all these things from Krishna. If Krishna Krishna sanctions all this for me in my life, then I am happy. I think life is not too bad. So that's how it begins. So the approach to Krishna is at that point is simply one's own personal interest. And when one wants to fulfill a lot of material desires, he comes to Krishna in this mood. And then he says to Krishna I'm offering this to you, but in return, offer me this. At this desire, all the desires, he starts speaking to Krishna. He stands there and smiles at you, seeing your unfortunate situation. Then immediately after that, after a while, when he get to know Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam and hear about that this is not the process to approach Krishna, due to some good fortune which may happen, then he comes to the next standard. And what happens then? At that point, he realizes that by now either he has a lot of wealth or he has a lot of capacity to do many things. So he starts saying to, he wants to make sure that others all know what he is doing. That's the next stage. So a person in the mood of Rajogunam, the nature of that devotee, you can verify and see this, that he'll be very particular that the whole world knows about his devotion to Krishna. The whole world has to know. If he doesn't know it, he feels, I'm happy about it. So in order to, or others to know, he will make sure that he will act in a particular way. Somehow the other, Krishna should recognize me, I am the best devotee. And if, haven't you heard that how much money I have donated to the temple, or how much I have done for Krishna, and oh, without me what will happen, how will the temple run? Even to such extent, the thoughts will go. So this is the next stage. But as soon as you cross that, it comes to the Satuvanam, one starts realizing that higher than that, there is another understanding that it is my duty to serve Krishna. When that realization comes, it is in Satuvanam. Even then, it is also under the three modes of nature. That is what you have to realize. Even that is under the three modes of nature. Even when one crosses that, that it is my duty to serve Krishna, with that understanding one comes, even that is in the mode of goodness. But even when one crosses that and comes to the stage when one realizes that without being having association with Krishna, life is hell. When that realization comes to a person and he starts experiencing that in one's own life, that is in the transcendental stage. So you can see, it is at that stage all these realizations will come. It is difficult to come all this before that. Before that, it is simply coming to the temple, seeing the deity and going home. There is nothing else happening. But when one studies and making progress through these three stages into the transcendental stage, at that point, we will appreciate all the other things what is discussed in these verses.
Vidaragavaya krodam manmayama ubashrida bahavo jnana tamasa udamal bhavama gadaha.
That all the appearances and pastimes of Krishna, why did he do this? In order to attract us towards Krishna. That was the goal behind it. So that somehow or the other we get attracted to Krishna. Then, and those who have studied these appearances, these pastimes thoroughly, and have understood the implications of that, and then they are the people who will not have to accept another body again. In the last verse, what Krishna mentioned, tetva deham punarjanmam neidi mahame disorjunaham. Then, a fortunate soul alone can go through all these things in normal circumstances. One has to be very, very fortunate. That one has to think a lot about it before one engages in all these activities. That unless one is very inspired to do this, one will not do that. So naturally, our mind is always affected by the lower modes of nature. And the lower modes of nature will dictate to us, do this, like that, it will go on.
But that is not good. You should not allow that to be driven by that. One has to continuously think how to develop in Krishna consciousness. And that development process is the very, very critically analyzed in the Bhagavad Gita like this. That simply understand my appearances. You can see by this one verse alone, Krishna has told you that study Srimad Bhagavatam in detail as best as you can. Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada tektual deham punar janmam nedimam edisorjunaham. So in other words, Krishna is saying that my appearances, my pastimes, my activities, if you understand that, in other words, if you understand Srimad Bhagavatam, then nedimam edisorjunaham, that you don't have to come back here. That's all. So from all these few verses, what Krishna has spoken, you can see, although it looks simple when you read it, when you start analyzing those verses, only then you realize that you have to devote a lot of time. And time, you have to devote a lot of time to advance in Krishna consciousness. If you do not spend time simply reading, reciting verses is not enough. No doubt about it, they are also beneficial to you. By doing that, it also benefits the person. There is no question at all. But understanding the verses and absorbing the spirit of the verses is more important. And if the spirit is not there, simply reciting, it will also come eventually benefit. Only thing is, it will take a very, 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 very long time. That is the problem. But in order to understand Krishna's instructions, one has to study Bhagavad Gita all the time. All the time one should read. And one should constantly think about these things, what Krishna has mentioned there. In order to inspire us in the spiritual life, Krishna has given us Bhagavad Gita as the very basic book. By studying Bhagavad Gita, one will understand what I should do in my life. This is the goal of Bhagavad Gita. What should I do in my life? This answer is Bhagavad Gita. The answer is there in the Bhagavad Gita. So after that, how to execute that process, that is Srimad Bhagavatam. So you can see, Janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tatvada tektual deham punar janmam Arjuna. Krishna says, if you do follow this, if you simply understand my appearance, my pastimes, my activities, everything, which is Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you understand Srimad Bhagavatam, you come back to me. You don't have to take another birth again. This is what the guarantee. This verse is the guarantee clause in the Bhagavad Gita. This verse is the guarantee clause. In other words, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, and if you understand Srimad Bhagavatam, this is what will happen. That is the meaning of that. And not only Srimad Bhagavatam, in Srimad Bhagavatam, Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all the literature on Krishna. There is also Mahabharatam. Who is the greatest personality in Mahabharatam? Krishna is the center point of Mahabharatam. Who else is the center point? It is Krishna first and then Bhishma. The two personalities who dominates Mahabharatam is these two. But out of these two, it is centered around Krishna. Then there is other literature, Harivamsham, running to thousands and thousands of volumes, verses, which is again centered around Krishna. Ramayanam, centered around Ramachandra. They are all Krishna's expansions. So you can see the whole Vedic literature in one way or the other are Krishna's expansions in different forms. So the more one absorbs in Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabharatam, Ramayanam, Bhagavad Gita, all these things will increase this understanding of Krishna, what is Krishna. Otherwise you will never understand Krishna. Simply if you think, I have come to the temple, I see Gogananda and I have gone by, and I understood Krishna. That is not understanding. That's a very partial understanding of Krishna. Very basic understanding of Krishna. But Krishna is much more than that. Krishna is the source behind everything. He is the origin of all the great personalities. And in different levels, you realize Him through Srimad Bhagavatam. That is how Krishna meant to explain that verse is understood. Vidaragavaya krodam manmaya mamuba ashrida bhavo jnana davasa pudamal bhavamagadam. Then, what will happen is, if you study Srimad Bhagavatam, that is that verse is saying, if you study Krishna consciousness, or if you understand, if you advance in Krishna consciousness, in this way, Krishna says here, Vidaragavaya krodam manmaya mamuba ashrida. Ragam, Bhayam, Krodham. These three things, these are the impurities in our mind. Those things will leave you. Because they are all the ones which is actually dirtying the mind at the moment. Raga means attachment. Bhayam means fear. Krodham means anger. Why these things are there? Why Ragam? Because of ignorance. due to our uncontrolled senses and mind. That is what creates this attachment to this world. Bhayam, fear. Why? Fear is there because we have not realized ourselves what we are. Completely under the control of bodily concept of life we live here. And as long as one is controlled by the bodily concept of life, fear has to be there. Why? One day, we all know we will lose this body. That fear is all the time. As we get older and older, that fear builds up strongly. But, bhayam, fear, bhayam didiya avinivesanasyal, in the Bhagavatam there is a statement. Where did this bhayam come from? Fear has come. When you are young, you don't think so much about it. You are thinking, oh, I'll be like this forever. But you're not going to be like that. In 10, 20 years time, this will all go grey. And then the body will show its inability to move. You will need help. And at that time, you will start slowly realizing that I'm not going to be here for long. Initially, you are thinking, oh, I'll be here forever. In the beginning, when you are youth, in your full energy, and running here, running there, doing so many things, this project, that project, and so many things going on in the mind. First, I'll work hard, I'll earn a lot of money, I buy my house, I go up in my ladder. And all these plans, big plans are going on. Getting married, having children. And endless desires and plans is working. But what we forget is that this is the same business many people have come and done and gone from here. Were they benefited from that? Strictly speaking, no. Because ultimately they have wasted their opportunity. That's all. That's what Krishna is saying. That I've given them a human body, they couldn't utilize it. They got busy with so many other businesses and they lost their chance. They lost it. So if we don't want to lose this chance, what's given to us, Krishna says, if you go through this process and cultivate Krishna consciousness, ragam, this attachment will hold. In other words, renunciation will build up. Bhayam, fear, what has come to us due to acceptance of material body, that will go. In other words, when you get into the spiritual platform, there is no more concern about the material body. Krodham, anger. When the lust and other material desires are not fulfilled, krodham comes, anger comes in. But krodham is only happening because of the attachment to sense objects and because of the attachment of the mind and the lower modes of nature. When mind is purified, intelligence is purified, krodham also leaves you. So Krishna says here, vidaragabhaya krodham manmayamam upashrida bahavo jnana tapasa puram albhavam agadaham. That when one starts practicing this, Krishna says, he will get purified. He will get purified. Manmayamam upashrida bahavo jnana tapasa. That when one is experiencing this, the result of that is knowledge will build up inside. Real knowledge, not the kind of... This is the most difficult thing in this world. There is so much knowledge here in this world. All kinds of knowledge has been created by the human society. And if you think about all these big institutions, universities and big organizations, they are all telling you, I've got the knowledge, come, take it. And the whole lifetime you're running from pillar to post to get this so-called knowledge. And ultimately you realize one day, when you are lying in your last bed to leave this world, you are thinking, what did this knowledge help me? I have spent years and years in my life to get this knowledge and that knowledge. None of those knowledge helped me. They are all useless at the end. So that is why discrimination is necessary in life. Krishna is saying this. This is the knowledge that will help you before the time of death. None of the other so-called degrees and diplomas, what you have earned in the university, that is not going to follow you. It is not. It is finished with that card what you had printed. That's it. That's nothing else. It can help you. But that is why one has to learn to discriminate all the time. What is that real knowledge that will help me at the time of death? That's what Krishna is saying. Vidaragabhaya krodham manmayamavashridaha bahavo jnana tapasaha. He will become, knowledge will build up in such a way that jnanam and tapasa, that will develop in a person so strongly. He will come back to me and he will get a body like me. In other words, he will be liberated from the material world. He can go back to the spiritual world. That is what Krishna is saying. So, is Krishna wrong? Krishna is telling us very openly what we have to do, what we don't have, what we should not do. In other words, avoid what is not necessary for life in this world. Accept what is necessary. This discrimination is the spiritual intelligence. And when that is lacking, we may, big personalities in this world, they have acquired so much different knowledges, so many different kinds of knowledge they have.
and they feel great happiness in all that knowledge. But from Krishna's point of view, that is not knowledge even. That's not even considered as knowledge. That knowledge is all useless, Krishna says, because at the time of death, if you have not utilized it properly, your lifetime, for cultivating this knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita, you have lost the chance. That is what saying. Vidaraga bhaya krodham manmaya mamuba shridaha bahavo jnana tamasa udamal bhava magadaham. So that is the way it happens. Yeha mam pravadyande tam sadaiva vajamyaham mama rupmanu vartande manushya partha sarvashaham. Then Yedhamam pravadyande tam sadaiva vajamyaham. And if a person comes to me, Krishna says, and if he wants to approach me, Yedhamam pravadyande, that according to how he surrenders unto me, tam sadaiva vajamyaham, that I become accessible to him. That means, in other words, according to Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, according to your surrender, according to your sincerity, according to your austerity and purity, all these things will happen. Why, when things are not happening, you don't have to blame anybody. It is not, we are not qualified. That is why it's not happening. Ye yathamam prabhadyande tam sadaiva vajamyaham. If you accept Krishna's instructions, and sages, great acharyas and personalities, they followed this route and they have realized it, that what Krishna stated is correct. Yayadhamam prabhadyande tam sthadaiva vajamyaham, that it is by this process that you get closer to Krishna. This is the process to get closer to Krishna. Tam sthadaiva vajamyaham, by surrendering and offering one's own life to Krishna. Mama vartmanu vartande manushya partha sarvashaham. That Krishna, although mama vartmanu vartande manushya partha sarvashaham, then we do not have the complete knowledge of the absolute truth. What knowledge do we have? Actually, strictly speaking, you can see that this material creation is only 25% according to the Shastram of the total creation. This is only 25% of the total creation. The 75% is parastasma subhavanyo, Krishna says, that is the spiritual world is 75%. Material creation is about 25%, Krishna says. In that 25% also, how much percentage do we know out of this 25%? You can easily say that if you know 1%, you should say you're lucky. Not even 1% you know what goes on in this material creation. This is our position. And still, what do we say? We know everything, isn't it? Parastasmatu bhavanyo nityo nityal sanatana. Krishna says later on, that try to understand, Krishna says, that yedhamam prabhadyande tam stadaiva vajamyaham mama vartmanu vartande manushya partha sarvashaham. Everyone ultimately, manushya partha sarvashaham, everyone ultimately has to follow me. You have no choice. And if you do that, Krishna says, in course of time, you will come to me, you will understand me. So basically, in these 10-11 verses, in the 11 verses in this fourth chapter, Krishna has spoken to us certain things very straightforward in the sense that in order to understand Krishna, how much sacrifice you have to make. If you're not willing to sacrifice, then the result also will be according to that. If you make more sacrifice, you will get more better results also. And that process, how to develop that understanding of Krishna, that is what is spoken in this last 10-11 verses. So I will stop there now, and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. We will tomorrow discuss here the same place, Srimad Bhagavatam, and that is Krishna's pastimes with Rukmini. And this particular pastime in the Srimad Bhagavatam is one of the most important pastimes of Krishna, especially for the householders. So householders, which is always the most dangerous position in this life, because they are the ones who are suffering mostly. And for them, Krishna, living as a householder in this world, showed us a lot of things. And Srimad Bhagavatam has given us a much deeper understanding of householder life through this particular pastime of Krishna and Rukmini. So if you would kindly come, we will discuss that tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.
Yeah.
We've been inoffered the theatre tomorrow.
You say?
Yeah.
So, excuse me, we have been offered the theatre tomorrow, so we can use the theatre tomorrow.
in the temple. So we should be better placed than this. I suppose. Half past four. Yeah.